We learned the inyan of the Talmud Vayra. The Talmud Vayra asked the question, why do you need a smaller Pesach and why do you need the Pesach to be on top? And out of this tapestry, he weaves the idea of B'makom Shebali Tshuva Oim Demein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim Lamod is essential to this idea. Rabbi said the Talmud Vayra, what he does is he tries to use the ideas of living in the manner of the Ribbono Shel'Olam's Midos on the Pasuk Mikael Kamoicha Noisa Avam Vayvra Al Pesha L'Sheiris Nachalosa. And he takes each and every one of those phrases, shows how the Ribbono Shel'Olam is misnaig, but Oifen Nifla, with Chaitim and Poshim and all kinds of difficult people, and Apa PK. And we're supposed to do the same. And he demands or expects of us really extraordinary things. Such as in this particular instance, you have to love the person that asked you mechila much more than ever before. And that's a very difficult thing to achieve. But in the process of explaining the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this particular context, he explains why the karei of the hay is tolui and gives a pesach to come in from above. And his taina basically is twofold. Number one, that the manner in which the tzaddik is able to protect himself from doing a chait allows the natural tzaddik to live in an environment which is inherently dangerous for the person that has sinned and is doing tshuva. In other words, the person that does tshuva cannot retreat to the moment before the chait. He cannot retreat to the environment that he was in just right before he did the Aveira, because he has a vulnerability. And interestingly enough, chait does not produce immunity to chait. It's the exact opposite. It's very interesting. Chazal tell us, happens to be this parsha, but it's just a coincidence. Haraya soita b'kilkula yazir atzmai min hayay. When someone looks at this chazal, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha L'Chaim Habo, asks this question in his Darash Moshe. But when a person looks at this chazal, he is perplexed. Because if you see the hatzlocha of chait, you might be tempted. You see people, why does it say in the Pasuk that we say by Abeis Ha'avil, right? Altira, don't be afraid, ki yashir ish, ki yirbe, kavod beisai. What is it to be afraid of? It should have said, don't be jealous of him. But what is the fear? So the fear is that you see a person who's not beseder at all with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he doesn't behave properly, and he's extremely successful. And if you allow the limited view of Olam Hazeh, there's plenty to be afraid of. Like, you know, les din v'les dayan. Where's the cheshbon? How does it set itself right? So when a person has this possibility, at least, of being jealous, I understand that he might succumb. But if a person sees a sota bikil kula, he sees her in her disheveled, disoriented manner, and her whole life is caving in. And why? Because we are discovering that she did something illicit, why should that lead to a person being mazir atzmo min hayayin? The opposite. You learn your lesson. In fact, the Torah says, a lashon, v'chala'am yishmu v'yirou v'lo yizidun od. When you see the punishment that is meted out, well, isn't this a punishment? And it's also something that shows her degradation. Why is it that when you see her degradation, dafka yazir atzmo min hayayin? So I think the answer is very simple, and it drives a certain point, very, very important point. Chait of any kind, even a chait that comes from taiva, is fundamentally a rebellion against Hashem. There are two kinds of rebellions against Hashem. There's one for the sake of rebellion. But you see, if a person really has Yira Shamayim, if the man who is your policeman is standing there with a gun to your temple, and he says, if you do this, I will shoot you, the person doesn't do anything. No taiva will drive him to do something if the gun is to his temple. That's what they said about the Beis HaLevi, that the Beis HaLevi's Yirah Shamayim was an unbelievable madrega, and once he had that Yirah Shamayim, it was impossible for him to do an Aveira. Because the Beis HaLevi's taina was, how does Moshe Rabbeinu say Yirah Shamayim is a simple thing? Milsa Zutrasa. In the Gemara says, L'gabei Moshe, alright, but the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu saw the in his sense of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he saw Chait as if he's walking on a bridge, which is so rickety and it's so dangerous that at any moment there's a precipice that he could fall into. Or a person's walking on ice and he suddenly sees that the ice is cracking on the lake and he doesn't know if he'll manage to get across the lake or he'll manage to get back. And he's totally perplexed. There's nothing on his mind but his survival. Nothing. And even if he was chasing across the lake for a Maisa Bish, for an Erva, for a Gzela, for a Ritzicha, all of that fades away because he's concerned to survive the next moment. And if you have that kind of Yirah Shamayim, it's impossible to do an Aveira. He puts the gun to your head and says, do it. I'm not doing it. I'm scared out of my wits. I won't move. I'm paralyzed. The gun is to my temple. When a person does a chait, even a chait that stems from taiva, basically that chait remains a stain on the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. It's a denial of Hashem. It's a denial of Meloich HaLoretz Kvodo. It's a Chilul Shem Shamayim. The Rambam in the fifth perek of Yesodei HaTorah, when he describes the concept of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, he tells us black on white that a person that does an Aveira B'Shot Nefesh and he does it knowing that it's an Aveira, knowing that it's Asur, which person involved in Arayis doesn't know that Arayis is Asur? Which person that the husband said, Altisteri Amish Kloini, and she's Nisteris, she isolates herself with him. So the Teretz is, she's into something that the Ribbono Shel Olam said 50 times in the Torah. Don't do it! I forbid you to do it. And she does it anyhow. And how do you know that she did it? Haraya Saita Bikulkula. All of a sudden you see a reduction, a Chilul Kvod Shamayim. And remarkable, when you see Chilul Kvod Shamayim, instead of becoming better, the knowledge that such a thing is even possible. It's like when you saw somebody who's a private in the army, and he does something that's against the sergeant and against the captain and against the colonel and against the general. And they throw him into the brig. And he's there for 30 days. But he comes out a shtickle hero. You went against the authority. We respect you for that. What's there to respect? The Teretz is because I show my integrity by denying the authority of the army. I show my integrity by denying the authority of the Kodesh Baruch Hu that it's not so complete, his Meloich HaLaaretz Kvodo. And that moment is a moment that the Yetzer Hara seizes upon. That you could do it too. It's Pile Ploim. It is Chazal is Yoyred into the Toich Toich Nefesh HaAdam. That what should be the higher instinct to reject this mikol v'chol and anything that might lead to it, to this kind of debauchery, such as Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin, right, Yayin, it's not going to happen naturally. On the contrary, the feeling in Chazal is that he will chase after the Yayin so that he can excuse his debauchery. How could it be? The answer is when you see the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it undermines your own respect for Hashem. It's an incredible thing. And that's why Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin, you got to go one step back. You have to prevent even the possibility of drinking Yayin by making yourself a Nazi right then and there. There is in the Ribui quote Shamayim, perhaps also another Nakuda, Hashtod Asin and Lahacha, that being Mazda Atzmo Min HaYayin is Mitakein Her Kilkel. because I go a step backward to protect Kvod Shamayim. Because I'm going to do something that will make it even harder for me to do such an Aveira ever. Because a lot of these kilkulim come because of Yayin. Wine, women, and song. So that's the Nekuda. You know, it's the nature of the person. You have in Shavuos a very prominent minhag, everybody knows. We eat milchiks on Shavuos. Why do we eat milchiks on Shavuos? No? Why do we eat milchiks on Shavuos?
Because kosher kelim. What's it called?
You feel kelim after.
Yeah, so the explanation that's given is because they had nothing kosher to eat. The kelim were this, and the behemoths could be treif, the behemoths that were geshach, that were killed already. So you have to have macholi cholov. It says here in the Mishnah Berurah, macholi cholov, ayin mogin avraham. V'ani shamati od b'shem gadol echad sh'amatam nochen l'zeh, ki be'eish sh'amdu al ha'sinei v'kibul ha'toyra, when they finally went home, right? They left Har Sinai and they went home. Why? To get rid of the macholos asuras in the behemah itself, you have to have nikur, and then he says lahadiach v'lim loyach to get rid of the blood. Ulevashel bekelim chadoshim ki hakelim shahoyu lahem mikodem shebishlu b'hem ba'oisay meis leis nesu lahem al kein bacharu lahem lefi shoa macholi cholav v'anu oisim zecher lozeh. There's a minug that he brings right afterwards. And this is the reason that basically everybody will say to you. But right afterwards, in the very next Mishnah Berurah, he says as follows. The Rama says, Kein oichlin ma'achol cholov, v'chakach ma'achol basa. And there's a whole question of how you do it. We're not learning Hilchos Shavuos right now. I want to just point out this very next Mishnah Berurah, which is not known at all by most people. He says here, Bayom HaRishon, Dibra Maschul Bayom HaRishon, Os Yud Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Tov Tzadi Dalet, Gam Noyagim B'Ktsas Mekoymois Lechol Dvash V'Cholov, to eat dvash and cholov, not just milchiks, but specifically honey and milk. Mipnei shehatoyra nimshalo l'dvash v'cholov, kamo shekosuv dvash v'cholov tachas l'shoneich. What does it mean? It's under your tongue. It means the tongue that speaks divrei Torah. The Torah is nimshal to many things, certain things that are critical and essential for life, lechem and mayim. The Torah is also sweet and beautiful and delightful. And to feel that sense, you have that sense of plenty, that sense of filling you up, as it were. And with tremendous sweetness, the Torah is nimshal to cholov and dvash. So not only is it macholi cholov, but macholim that have dvash in it as well. Is it not true that we know this much less than we know the other reason? So there are two reasons for eating cholov. Because cholov was the maichel that they ate after Kabbalah Satorah, and cholov is nimshal l'Torah itself, dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonech, with dvash as well. Why am I telling you this? Because on my way out to give the shiur, you'll notice I came a few minutes late. And my eye was stopped by the front cover of a magazine about food, and it was a magazine delivered, you know, to the door arbitrarily. That's something you buy or you order, they give it to you. And in many ways, it's a very nice magazine. It has recipes galore. You could spend hours figuring out how to cook things for Shavuos. But the front cover, very glossy front cover, with a nice piece of cheesecake in the front, a picture of a piece of cheesecake. Not the actual piece of cheesecake, you know, the picture of a piece of cheesecake. And the capo, the heading on top of the picture is Dairy Decadence. Now, I was very impressed with that. Because I was thinking to myself, if I had to pick, after learning this Mishnah Berurah in particular, if I had to pick a Lashon that would describe this cheesecake, what Lashon would I pick, if not Dairy Decadence? The word decadence automatically arouses in the person all kinds of ideas. See, people are heavy, they weigh a lot, and there's a fear of obesity. So they're telling you, you don't understand. Shavuos suspends all of these restrictions. On Shavuos, you don't have to worry about your weight. You don't have to control yourself. Because there's an inyan to eat macholi cholov. And if there's an inyan to eat macholi cholov, splurge! Enjoy yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because today you received the Tyrosenu HaKadosha. I was looking inside. I almost saw it, but almost. I was waiting for them to quote the Gemara Maseches Pesachim that says that even though there's a machloikas Rebbe Lezner, Rebbe Yoshua, about other Yomim Tovim, which is Chetzir Lashem, Chetzir Lachem, or Oikula Lashem, Oikula Lachem. Bakol Moidim Ba'atzeres, the Be'ina Nami Lachem. Why? It's a Yom of Matan Torah. Yom Shenitim by Torah. Rashi says, it's a day that you have to rejoice, and how does the Jew rejoice? Dairy decadence. So how does a Jew rejoice? By eating and drinking and being excited with what? With all of that Torah that was given to him, he shows it's not a burden. So it's altskvaldik, and the cheesecake is a minig Yisrael. But dairy decadence. You see, the pshat is, I have to capture your eye with the picture and with the caption above it. I am competing with so many other efforts to catch your attention in a world that's busy yoimim v'layla. So how am I going to catch your attention? Well, I could write Macholei Cholov L'chag Matan Torah. I could write that. I could write Enjoy the Minug of Eating Dairy on Shavuos. I could write that too. But doesn't dairy decadence chap your eye? Look, I'm talking about it. So lemaisa, that's the point. We look for the chap, we look for the dre, we look for the, you know, you see these tzedakah campaigns. They're doing exactly the same thing. They don't write decadence, but they give you in 7 different colors the pictures of all of the cripples and all of the people that, you know, vasepis, because it's ma'ir arachamim. It isn't Ma'ar Arachmim in the Halakha sense. And you don't need that. If you need to be Mis'ar with such a picture, there's something wrong with you. But they're competing for your dollar. And advertising says, chap the person, grab him by the throat, and don't let him go until he gives. Now what happens, of course, is that we get saturated for Nalazaiten, and the competition for the same dollar is on that level. Meanwhile, at least all the printers and all the people who are putting together the advertising make a parnosa, and that's also mistama something, I don't know. But the edelkeit is completely gone, and the tznius of bakashas hatzdokah is lost completely. So mamish, there's a tznius in tzdokah. Who gives and who takes, it's basically krum. There's a tremendous pagam here. And someone said, Einachanami, to produce such booklets is a pagam, but to need to produce such booklets is a bigger pagam. Because if they got the money straight out, then they wouldn't have to make these things. They wouldn't be necessary. So you can argue about this back and forth. I don't think ends justify the means 99% of the time. There's a certain edelkeit that a person has to have in his lashon, in his ksav. Nicht als, what did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter say? Nicht als was mitracht, meg men sogen, nicht als was mitzogt, meg men schreiben. You know, there's a certain edelkeit that a Jew has to have, Basher Hu Yehudi. And when it comes to an expression about Kabbalah Satora, how can you write dairy decadence? It's doch the exact opposite. You're telling the person, don't control yourself, because you don't have to. And what does the Torah say by Maimed Har Sinai? Control yourself because you must. And that's the definition of a Jew. I'm giving you more controls than any other human being on earth. 1,000 times over. And it's not just going to be Deraisa, it's going to be who knows how many Drabonans. Like Rabbi Yerucham said, because the distance between Gan Eden and Gehenna is mamish an inch. And that's why you have to, you can't stay there by the bottom. That place where the Talmud Dvora speaks about, that the tzaddikim can be close to the bottom where there's this opening, Rabbi Yerucham says, okay, tzaddikim gemurim. But how many tzaddikim gemurim are there? Who can guarantee that he feels that he's a tzaddik gemur? Lo'olam al yamin odom ba'atzmai. Yochanan kohen gadol shimish b'kuna gdola shmeinim shana v'libesayf na'aseh tzaduki. But that kind of a person has to be afraid to stand by the edge of the cliff, because who knows when he'll lose his balance and fall over. So you can't be by the bottom. You have to be above the bottom, and you have to have controls. And the Torah says, Dereises and Derabbanans, control after control after control. The Issur of Arayis doesn't start with Arayis. It starts with Chibuk V'Nishuk, and Chibuk V'Nishuk doesn't start with Chibuk V'Nishuk. It starts with Yichud. And if a person thinks he can be Misyachin and he'll get away with it, then that's the beginning of coming off, rolling down in the avalanche of Chet. And that's exactly why, the word, you know what the word decadence means? Cado, in Latin, C-A-D-O, means I fall, I fell. Cado, secession, the word secession and decadence comes from exactly the same Shirish. Kado kadere kesi kesus. Secession means to fall away from the main body. Decadent and cadence and all those words are all from the same Shirish. It means to fall down, to fall away. Decadent means to fall down and down and down and down. That's what decadent means. How can you use a word like that, b'nagea, something that's associated with Matan Torah, which is Dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonich? The Torah says, because if you're going to write on the kepel Dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonich, nobody's even going to look at it. Although, I'll tell you the truth, the picture of the cheesecake in its own right is pretty appealing. But halacha l'maisa, Rabbi say, halacha l'maisa, you have to understand that we are all bombarded by this Yazir Atzman Malayim problem, because we're always seeing the Saita Bekilkuma. We are living in a world which basically is denying the Ribbono Shel Olam Ba'ofen Nora. I have a funny idea, a funny thought. We are in a miraculous door. If anyone has any doubt that the Ribbono Shel Olam cares about us and that he's hovering over us, never mind Hester upon him. He's hovering over us, and he's cuddling us. He's holding us close to his bosom, Kevayochel. If you have any doubt, look at what the world is, and look at what we've managed. Don't look at Achisrainus. Look at what we've accomplished. How is it possible for a Beis Yaakov girl to be so incredibly naive when the world that's at her throat is the opposite of naive at the age of 6? What a girl didn't know till she got married, the babies of 6 years old know today, and better, and more, and worse. In such an environment, we have Yireyim Ushleimim. It's inconceivable, to tell you the truth. It's only Shayach with an enormous Siyata Dishmaya. We should never forget it. So whatever I think of the people who are Nebuch, confused and losing themselves in the maelstrom of this world, in the shigoyin of this world, I think of the tens of thousands that haven't lost themselves, and I say to myself, be'etzem, we're way ahead of the game. But if you're looking at the world with open eyes, you know what you see? You see a remarkable thing. At the beginning of the history of the world, there were two moments back to back. One of them was called Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was Shekua and Znus and in Chomos. Znus and Chomos are twins, because the whole idea of Znus is taking what doesn't belong to you. And that's what Chomos is. It denies the Seder HaDvarim, denies real Bailus. Znus and Chomos. That is Dor HaMabul. What's Dor HaFloga? Denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gaiva, the sense of the superiority of our capacity and our intellect. We're going to build a Migdol V'roshe Magia Shamayma. Do you know what today is? Today is a hyphenated tkufa, Dor HaMabul hyphen Dor HaFloga. That's today. There's no question about it. There was never as much denial of the Eibishter Bechlaluso in the philosophical and intellectual climate of the world. And there was never so much Shekua in Znus and Shtufe Zima as there is today in a world which is sophisticated. I'm not talking about the Bahamias of the world always existed. But in a world that's sophisticated, no revoyim. And the more eclat you are, the more modern you are, the more capable you are, the more educated you are, the more you're that hyphenated Dor HaMabul Dor HaFloga person. And in that kind of environment, we have to survive. So everybody's groping for a method. Some retreat totally into a cocoon, and some try to accommodate the world as best as they can and say that it's a shtickle inoculation. Because if you retreat and then chas v'sholom you're exposed, you're totally lost, and everybody's grappling for some way of resolving this incredible problem, which Bamis Ansiata Deshmaya doesn't have a solution. No one has a real solution to this problem. No one. Because it's the mitzias of Golos. And that's why, if the Ribbono Shel Olam really wants us to be better, he has to take the Golos away. There's nothing we can really do. But strengthen ourselves and daven and be mischazek, but it's kulei haiva ulai. So getting back to the Talmud Dvara says that the Baal Tshuva has to go to a higher place because for him, anything lower than that is not shayach to sustain. Chet leaves traces. You cannot completely erase chet. One of the pshatim that you have in the Rashba, if you'll take a look again, you remember that the Rashba's idea was that it's not because if he remains too close to the bottom, he'll fall out again, like the Talmud Dvara explains. He says that the bottom opening is only meant for Yitzia, it's not meant for Knisa. The Rashba is really saying something very profound. You cannot undo something by retracing your steps. It's not possible to go back to where you were. You have to, that's the idea of betachbulois tasa milchama. A person has, when a person wants to change, he cannot simply, there's no, nothing to undo. Be'emes, tshuva is, the word tshuva means to return. So you have to understand what return means. Return does not mean to retrace your steps and go backwards. You can never go back. You can never go back. If a person needs to fix himself, you see, basically, I'll give you a medical analogy to what I'm talking about. A person took a tremendous amount of acid. So if he takes immediately a tremendous amount of alkaline, which neutralizes the acid, it might work. But when the acid took its toll, no amount of alkaline in the world is going to help. In fact, it's going to be mekalkal even more. So once a person is enmeshed in chet, and he's fallen, because that's what it means to fall out of the hay, the concept of an antidote does not exist any longer. And in the search for mahalchei hatshuva, you have to engage in the darkei hatshuva. There is nothing else. And the Darkei HaTshuva basically insists, as I mentioned 2 times ago, the Darkei HaTshuva insists that you become a different person. You can't be the same person. And that's what the Rashba means. You can't go back the way you came. And being a different person is not a game. You can't just get up and change your name, or you can't move to another neighborhood. It has to be internalized. And that's a tremendous avodah. That's why people are so perplexed that Yom Kippur doesn't seem to have a permanent impact on them. Why should it? What do you think, that you know, screaming and yelling for 24 hours is going to change the person? But if the person doesn't change, tshuva is not possible. Tshuva does not mean returning to your original place. Tshuva means returning to Hashem. There's a tremendous difference. V'shov el Hashem. Shuvu Eilai. It's k'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. It's a very big misunderstanding to think that tshuva means undoing the past. The past can never be undone. And any attempt to undo the past is going to lead to another problem. You dwell on the Aveira, you end up doing the Aveira again. It's impossible to dwell on the Aveira, even Lataifa. A person has to run for his life, and the only way you can do that is by changing. And changing, that's why, by the way, I want to point out a very interesting phenomenon that I've noticed for many, many years already. I have all kinds of Talmidim. So I have a Talmid that comes to me with a problem, and he's an Erlich HaYid. An Erlich HaYid. I mean, they're all Erlich HaYidin. But this boy was an Erlich HaYid from the day he was born. He comes from a nice family in a nice environment, went to yeshiva all his life. He has a problem. And every attempt to get rid of this problem has failed. And he's besides himself completely. Then I have another fellow, Shakua Bechait, of all kinds, for years, in a totally alien environment. And he becomes a Baal Tshuva. And all of that is ancient history. How could it be? How come this person, so you'll say, because that's the nature of the satan of the Yetzirah, Allah Sakharain and Amench. I don't believe that's the answer, because if that would be the answer, what worse matzah for the satan could there be than to see somebody that was his in his pocket suddenly become somebody that is a tzaddik Yisoid Olam? That's the worst. So it can't be that the satan's enticing this one more than the other one. What's the answer? I'll tell you, the answer is very simple. There's a disconnect between yesterday's person and today's person in the complete Baal Tshuva. There's an irony here. It's much easier to break away from a whole lifestyle and a whole orientation than from a specific Avera within the same lifestyle and orientation of Kedusha and Tara. Although one would expect that it should be the exact opposite. Now, Einochanami, if you tell a person do tshuva and he's not ready for it, and he's shakua in his lifestyle, in his lifestyle he's not going to change. Of course he won't change. But if he changes, the change has a permanent effect because his entire environment changes, his worldview changes, his mahus is different. In effect, he's changed his name and moved to another place, even if he lives across the street. Because it's a shul now instead of a pool hall or whatever. And he doesn't go to movies, he goes to the Beis Medrash. That kind of transformation is awesome. Masha'enking, the person who's already there, those kinds of transformation do not deny the personality. Maybe they should, but he doesn't see it that way, nor does anyone around him see it that way, because he sees himself as basically okay except for. And that's infinitely harder. The place of Yetziah is not a place of Knesa, says the Rashba. And then he says as follows, who yolits? Remember the question was, who does the who go on? One pshat is that the person himself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits back and does nothing, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually aids and abets the choyte to fall into the trap. Zokta HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who yolits, I say, kloimar, paiseach loiliyis letz. The kasha dim came to nefarish who yolitz the koyla kodesh baruch hu the ratzalayma yolitz also the aseu leitz im kain loy mashkachas the yisiu al boli kones yosem li boli tamei varikama boli tamei poschen lo the ratzalayma the moitzei pesach im yitzel li tamei shiachol otzis li tamei derech also pesach avo ein the sign also lekach el hapula is also ma'atz my boli siu acherim. So he argues for the shita that says who yolitz refers to the person. Because he says like this, if it refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that means the Ribbono Shel Olam is active. And in the same way that it says Yitein Chein, that's what I mentioned you last time, that it's a parallel of Chayra. Who yolitz? Yitein Chein. Who's noising the Chein? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? La'anovim, to the humble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Chein. Who gives late Latzanus, yolitz? Who yolitz? Same, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rashba, Eibazoi, then how do you distinguish between one and the other? And everyone is maskim that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Toiv and Meitiv, that definitely the Siyua is going to be for the person who wants to do tshuva and wants to be good. La'anovim yitein chein. And not to the person who wants to do an Aveira. So he says, Eibazoi, you have to interpret whether you like it or not, that who yolitz does not refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Yitein Chein does. So what does it refer to? To the person himself. As if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to drown? You're jumping into the deep water? You don't have a life-preserving jacket? I'm not running in to catch you. I'm not going to save you. Shev al tasa. Im laleitzim, let him be a leitz. Hu yoletz. Aba la'anovim, if you're trying to climb out of the water, I extend the pole. Yitenchem. Azei zok de Rashba. I just wanted to point out, what about those who disagree with the Rashba's Mahalach here? And they say that the Pasuk refers both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some say, Hu Yolitz doesn't have that Pu'ula of Yitain. Because Yolitz and Yitain Chain is not the same. Not the same intensity, not the same action. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door for the person who wants to jump out the window, he opens the window. Person wants to climb out of the cocoon, he makes a hole, but he doesn't push it. Mashenkin yiten chayin, he mamish pushes him to the toiva. And that's the difference between this siyata d'shmaya and that opening. But he does open it. Hu yolitz. The Rashba says no. But it could be that there's a different teretz. Im la leitzim hu yolitz, you'll notice an interesting thing. The language is the same. Yolitz, leitzim. By anovim, it says yitein chayim. It doesn't say who yisanev or something, whatever lashon it might be. I don't know. You know what the difference is? The difference is what I've spoken about many, many times. There are two kinds of chet. There's a chet that a person does in the context of kuloi taif. That's where we apply the expression Ein adam chayte elo im kei nichnas boi ruach shtus. What do you need the ruach shtus for? Because the entire person, his personality, his nature, his upbringing, his understanding, his comprehension of Hashem and Hashem's Torah mitigate against it. So how did he end up doing it anyhow? Nichnas boi ruach shtus. It's the koyach of the Yetzer to confound a person, to blind him temporarily. Such a person, the second after the Aveira is over and he's not blinded anymore, is immediately filled with an unbelievable amount of guilt and frustration, and generally the chance of him doing the same thing again is not that great. As long as he's careful. And then there's what I spoke about the other day, and I speak about all the time, the opposite extreme, Vayelchu Achrei Ahevel Vayeabolu, where a person's values change to such an extent that he doesn't even see it as a chet anymore. That's the pshat of Imla Leitzim Hu Yolitz Afanemis. In the whole concept of Leitz and Anovim is also fascinating to me. Would you describe a Chote as a Leitz? I would not. I would say Imla Chatoyim, or there's one word that he uses all the time, Ksil, in Mishlei. But he doesn't use it here. He uses the word Leitzim. You know what a leitz basically, I told you the other day that it doesn't mean a clown or a comic, but the emes, the concept of leitz means someone who does not allow one fundamental midah to affect him. And that's what we would call seriousness. You know, comedy is a wonderful thing. There's a certain lightness that a person has to feel from time to time just to get by. And when you're totally serious and always heavy, it's very burdensome. And you find a certain kind of humor all over Yiddishkeit. But there's a concept called leitz. What is leitz? Leitz is not humor. Because humor can sometimes be very serious and very profound. You know, the Yidden have this tremendous koyach of making up jokes that are very deep and teach actually wonderful moral lessons. There are four Yidden getting into a train in Hungary and, you know, whatever, and he asks you, each one introduces himself. So he says, my name is Katvani. The other one says, my name is Kemeni. The third guy says, my name is also Cohen. If I stayed.
Yeah.
So one, it's mamish mayritik. One little vertel and you already have the whole picture. Remember, I always tell you about the cartoon, the only cartoon that I ever saw in a Yiddish paper. Yiddish, I mean the Tog Morgen Journal. So they have everybody sitting in the subway, and there's two Yidden like from the Bronx, dressed in suits, very impressive, business people. And then they are holding the pole. There's an African in his dashiki, whatever it's called, and an Indian in their malbush, and everybody has their malbush. And there's also Chassidus Yid with Barton Payas with a hat, with a beaver hat, and whatever. And the two Yidden sitting are commenting one to the other, why do Yidden always have to look different? It's not a joke. Of course it's a joke. But in that joke is Tilei Tilim Shel Halachas. Leitz means, Leitz borders on the concept of sarcasm, but sarcasm could be for Kedusha too. And Kol Tzenusa Asur Chutz Mitzalunusa D'Avodah Zarah. Leitz means that you take something that is inherently holy and you fracture it. You cool it off from its tremendous Eish Oichla and you present it as something that's trivial. Trivializing Kedusha is the first and foremost Pesach Fechet. It's the exact opposite of what the Beis Halevi was talking about when he says that Yira means you have to feel that you're walking on ice that is about to crack and that'll be the end of us. It's trivializing. You know, people in certain environments ask people in other environments, so tell me, what is your latest Chumrah of the week? Or why don't we make a Chumrah of the Week club, like there's a Book of the Month club? That's a trivializing of the concept of Schar Schar Aminon L'Nazira L'Karma L'Sikrav. Now, Vadigavis, a person not supposed to take upon himself Chumrah's Ba'alma. But the whole idea of being Mizalzel, you know, people are, you know, you have an Adam Gadol coming to give Musar. He says, are you going? So he says, no, why not? Come on, he says the same thing all the time. That's not such a harsh statement, is it? But there's a trivializing. There's a, what do you mean he says the same thing? So does the Ribbon Shem say the same thing all the time. Maybe we shouldn't go to Kriya Satara either. I know it so well, I know it Baal Peh. Why do I have to listen to it again? Because the Teretz is, when something is full of Kedusha and something is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dvar Hashem, what should be repeated if not Dvar Hashem? And what is there better to hear than Dvar Hashem? But there's a trivializing. And that's why Dairy Decadence, even though it was not intended at all, it's just meant to catch your eye, and it's talking about weight. It's not talking about Avodas Hashem. But Afal Pikein, it has trivialized not only Dvash V'Cholov, not only Minhagim, but it also basically puts you in a different box, in a different frame of mind. You know, it's like the cheese is the important part of Shavuos. Because the truth of the matter, Shavuos is a shtickle and orphan. Pesach has matzah, and morer, and charosis even. And Shavuos has nothing. Sukkot has a sukkah, and it has lulav and esrig. There's no mitzvahs in sukkah, so we have to give it something. So we give it cheesecake. I mean, that's what we do. We give a cheesecake. There's a minute of cheesecake, and that is 500 recipes. There's what to do. We can prepare for Shavuos. And it's dairy decadence. So I'm not making such a big deal out of it. It's not the end of the world. But almost. But the fact is that that's what Leitzim Huyolitz means. So what is Huyolitz, if it does refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Huyolitz means he allows the person the consequences of litzanus, of trivialization. And the consequences of trivialization are fascinating, because as you reduce the Kedusha and what really matters and what is significant, there is never a void. It gets filled with really trivial things. And vayelchu achrei ahevel vayebol. That's exactly what happens. And that's why Chazal tell us, Ziknei Talmidei Chachomim kol zman shemaskinim daiton misyashevis aleihem. And the other ones, Amei Oretz, daiton mitarefis aleihem. Because there's always Huyolitz. the environment is created to confirm the trivialization so that your life itself becomes trivial. And that's why the same word is used, leitzim yolitz. La novim yitenchein is a different story entirely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot create your environment. He cannot inspire a new environment of Kedusha or increase your environment of Kedusha. The Avoda is ours to do. That's why it's Yiten Chayn. And while I'm at it, what is the Lashon of Chayn here, Bechlal? It's a strange Lashon. You know, you have at the end of Mishlei the very famous pasuk that everybody knows, Sheker HaChayn, Fehevel HaYofi, Isha Yiras Hashem, He Tis Hallow. By the way, the Vilna Gaon, none other than the Gra, it's brought down, and from other Sfarim as well, that say that Chayn and Yofi have a place if there is Yiras Hashem. We don't deny Chayn and Yofi. The Torah is full of Yofi. Brachel Hoysa Yifas Toyav Yifas Yosef Yifas Toyav Yifemar. There is an inyan of Chayn and there's an inyan of Yofi. But what does it mean La'anovim Yitain Chayn? The concept of Chayn, you know what it is? That it's not real. In beauty, where it's normally used, what's the difference between Chayn and Yofi? Yofi is objective beauty. It's like the whole world is maskim, beautiful. You have lahavdil in animals. You have dogs. Some dogs, Ruba the Alma says, that dog, there's something about that dog that I feel, it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful painting. And then there's certain dogs that when you look at them, their charm is that they're as ugly as you can be. That's part of their charm. That's part of their, believe it or not, part of their attractiveness. They are super ugly. Now, I don't have anything against that particular dog. Why do I think that the dog is ugly? There's something inside of us that touches up, that paskens, beautiful and ugly. What applies, of course, to dogs also applies to human beings as well. Now, chayn is the word that's used when something appears, that's why we call it charming, that something appears to be beautiful, even though inherently it's not. So what is the word chayn being used over here? It bothered me a lot when I learned this pasuk for the first time. La'anovim, the humble, yitain chayn. So if chayn means in the eyes of other people, I understand. But that's not the intention of the pasuk, if the way Rish Lakish is learning. Because Rish Lakish is learning that la'leitzim u'yolitz means habali tamei, and the other one is habali toher. So what's yitain chayn? What is yitain chayn? So I have an idea. Where is the Siyata Dishmaya? The Siyata Dishmaya is to be able to see something more than what it is in the eyes of everybody else. To find Kedusha where other people would not even see it. And it's a Midah Keneged Midah. For not being the Leitz who trivializes Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to see Kedusha even in the trivial. In other words, one person is going down the ladder and the other person is going up the very same ladder. That's chayn. Chayn is a perception that's not there in its essence, but you see it that way anyhow. It's a drash, so to speak. It's a pilpul. But I think that there's a lot of emes to it in life. You know, you find you can't always escape your environment. The Rambam, the famous Rambam, what does he say? He says, you leave the country if they don't let you do holy things. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to rebuild the shul and the yeshiva and the mikveh? I mean, we're so exhausted. We're still exhausted from 60 years ago. And you have to move again and again and again, and new institutions and a new environment and a new country. Where are we going to go? So the teretz is, there's nowhere to go. So what's going to be? That's yitain chayn. As somehow to find yourself in an environment to touch up the possibilities of Kedusha where everyone else is seeing the place in the opposite way. It's like a cocoon that you imagine instead of being real, because you can't provide the real cocoon. That is a meiridike siyata dishmaya. You know my ultimate example of this? The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Rav Huna and Rish Lakish actually. So Chazal tell us, the pasuk says, "Smach bocha b'yaldusecha." Smach bocha b'yaldusecha. V'tivcha libcha. V'halach b'darchei libecha. This pasuk sounds like, enjoy yourself while you still can. Have a good time. So Rav Huna says, Einuchanami, that's what the pasuk is saying. And it says that this is the Eitzah of the Yetzer Hara. And the rest of the pasuk, V'dak, Yalkol Eila, Yeviach, Olikim, Bamishpat, the pasuk in Kehelis, is the response. You'll listen to the Yetzer Hara, you will pay the piper. You will suffer. Because I'll call Eila Yeviach Elikim Bamishpat. You will be taken to task. So in other words, it's like a dialogue. You're listening to a scene unfold. The pasuk is speaking in the voices of the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, and the prosecutor. The Yetzer Hara is saying, Smach Bocha B'Yaldusecha, and the prosecutor is saying, I've got you. You're going to pay now for all the things that you did listening to that Yetzer Hara when you were young. Comes along Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish says, Smach Bocha B'Yaldusecha is Mishnah, V'tiv Kalib, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha. What's Kial Kalele Yivyecha L'kim B'Mishpat? There's a whole discussion. You can't just learn, you have to do. If you don't do, whatever. What's going on over here? So I said, very perfect. You have the same environment exactly. You have sometimes in the same family, with the same upbringing, same yeshiva. You have a bacher that's somehow attracted to the world. Today's music is in the ears of a person that's sensitive to Kedusha, is ekelhaftik on every level. The beat, the sound, the loudness, there's a grossness to it. And the language, it's nivul peh on every level. There are words that are being used there that have to make a person ish kadosh over aleinu tamid shudder, maybe faint. You know, there's a maisa that they say over from one of the gedolim who was a tremendous, later became a tremendous paisek. He was sitting and learning yom v'layl in Slabotka, comes over to the alt of Slabotka, and he says he has a problem. It was a musadik problem. He wasn't asking a shayla lahalocha what to do. He says, I was learning in the afternoon, learning, and all of a sudden I saw that I've missed mincha completely. So he wanted to discuss this with the Alta. What is this all about? Like, how do you digest this? You know, which way do you look at it? The Alta was the Chagvaldika Baal Musa, the Alta of Slabotka. The Alta says, I can't talk to you about this now. I want you to talk about this to Reb Naftali Amsterdam. He's coming tomorrow to the yeshiva. From Naftali Amsterdam came, he told him the whole story. I was learning about Asmada Atzuma, v'chulu, v'chulu, and I felt a mincha. Whereupon, Reb Naftali Amsterdam fainted. He fainted. Did you ever faint? Some people faint. Some people faint, you know. Who was it, Reb Moshe Mordechai Epstein? I'm not sure who said this, but we had the terrible mice in Chevron. Chevron. When all those Talmidim were massacred. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't there. He heard about it. He started getting so agitated. When Rav Kook heard about it, he fainted. So he said, Gibba Kook, what's this meant? You see, there's certain things. How could you faint? The answer is the blood rushes in such a way that physically you're affected by it in that manner. But what does that mean? It means that the impossibility of something is so profound, is so intense, that you can't cope. And to faint? Say, if a Torah falls to the ground, some people faint. They faint. Some people start crying. Other people say, oh boy, I'm going to have to fast. They're different reactions. Now, seriously. So now you have a remarkable thing over here that in an environment, you hear that kind of nivul peh in the song, we should be fainting away. But there are plenty of Bachrim who listen to this music and they enjoy it. And when they enjoy that, it's 10 seconds they trivialize, they trash every form of Jewish music. Doesn't compare, it's not in the Madrega. They don't have the same videos. Of course they don't have the same videos. These videos have knock at the men, and knock at the women, and knock at the men and men, and knock at the women and women. I mean, Zuchnoi Revoyim, I imagine. I mean, why not? That's what I hear. That's what my Talmidim tell me also. That's what it's all about. And what does our video have? Picture of Chaim Kanievsky. I mean, what's Kenshin Zayin? Unless we try to imitate them, then we become Laleitzim Huyolitz. Then we trivialize. Trivialize Psukim, we trivialize Kedusha. In the time of Chazal, it was also Asuni Bonai Kamin Zemer Shemenagnim Boleitzim. But the fact of the matter is that it's attractive just the same. And the Smach Bocha B'Aldusecha today is schlepping away all kinds of wonderful children from the most wonderful homes. They find it attractive. They find it talking to them. With the Nivupeh and with the Shmutz, it's talking to them. It's pulling them away. And in the same environment, and that's what I wanted to teach La'Novim Yitein Chayim, in the same environment, Mamish, with the same access, and the same street, Ba'isai Makoim, Ba'isai Zman, Ba'isai Kayach, and he is running to the Beis Medrash. It's not to be explained. The place, 6 o'clock in the morning, Zitzna po Yingalach, the yeshiva bachelor. Yingalach. They're not even by mitzvah. They zitzen and they learn. Comes at night, comes on a Shabbos. Everybody's sleeping, everybody's busy. The place is full of youngsters. Smach bachel bialdusecha, zu Mishnah. You mean to tell me that without Siyata Dishmaya such a thing could happen? Never in a million years. It's not shayach except for one thing, that the Eibishter has an unbelievable gift of blinding them to the shtus and hevel of this world. And when it doesn't happen, it's because that's normal. When it does happen, you realize the taich yitain and yitain chay. Because they don't see the reality for what it really is. Which, of course, on the highest level, that is the reality. But to be able to perceive that the reality of the street, which is so tangible, so palpable, and so negotiable, is not the reality, that's an unbelievable madrega, which is called chen. And that's why the pasuk says, La'anovim yitein chen.